Howdy, you found Music Heads presented by 89.3 The Current from Minnesota Public Radio. Thanks for dropping in. This is a roundtable discussion where a couple of colleagues and I get together each week and have a little fun discussing some of the new music we've been playing on the station and to find out if it's working for us. I'm the host of the show, Bill DeVille, and we'll be talking tunes today with morning host Barb Abney. Hi, Barb.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Bill.
It's good to have you here. And Assistant Music Director David Safar joins the program as well. Hi, David.
Hello, always good to be here.
All right, let's dive right in. Black Kids are a new pop sensation out of Jacksonville, Florida. They're a biracial band led by Reggie Youngblood. The easy comparison is The Cure, but this band is more about sugar and sunshine than gloom. They're probably more about the Archies than The Cure. The new album is called Party Traumatic, and here's a catchy little ditty called I'm Not Gonna Teach Your Boyfriend How to Dance With You from Black Kids. Black Kids, the album is called Party Traumatic. Barb Abney, is this working for you?
For the most part, no. But I have...
Agreed. It has its moments, though, doesn't it?
It does. And I can be really specific. I think, you know, Bernard Butler did this one, too, produced this album. And I think that he's got this great winning, like, UK band formula going where it's like, you know what, let's make your song sound just familiar enough so people are really... They think they know it, and then they're going to like your song. And they're like a couple of, like, the song that we played, you know, has a Cure sound to it. And it has, like, a Prince feel to it and all that.
How about the Thompson Twins? Remember them?
Oh, my God. So Thompson Twins. Yes. But there's this, the Hurricane Jane, another song on the album,
yeah,
where it's like another Saturday night. You know, that's all I could hear from that point. Another Saturday night, and I ain't got nobody. You know, that's all I could think of was that song. So it's like, okay, let's make it just familiar enough so you think you know this song.
And look for Barb at a karaoke bar near
I'm
you.
Sorry.
David, is this working for you?
I'm right in the middle on this album. I want to say that it's working, like it is working for the most part rather than it isn't working. But you know, this album is their debut album. They had this like hit song that you... I mean, you can't deny it's a good song. It's a really catchy song.
It's a really catchy song,
no
doubt.
The themes on this album are so fun. You know, it's like partying, late nights, you know, jealous lovers and breakups and heartbreak. So who doesn't like that? You know, who doesn't like to sing along and dance to songs that are about that sort of stuff? And the guitar riffs are great. There's like great synth lines. They've got these catchy choruses. But I mean, the way they start out the album, the lyrics.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah, totally with
you. They aren't even quotable, but I have to just point out, knock knock, who's there, call the ghost in your underwear.
Yes,
I mean,
terrible.
And that's the opening lines to the to the album.
That's how they begin the album, and I almost feel like, you know, someone hasn't done them justice. Maybe, like, you know, it's their debut album.
Yeah,
I'm not really sure if they're serious or if they're joking. I don't really know if they've figured out kind of what their thing is yet. I know people talk about them sounding like, you know, The Cure, obviously, and having all these different sounds and influences, but I've also seen people mentioning like Sparks, you know, and stuff like
sure.
that. And it's like, well, maybe they're going in a different direction and maybe we're not giving them credit for it. So, but I'm right in the middle on this album.
Yeah, it sounds like Sedated in the 80s compilation is what it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly.
It does, totally. I've got like Haircut 100 written down and like The Wizard of Oz, you know, the
Yeah. This album could have been, you know, if they had sequenced things properly, it might have looked like it was a pretty good album
yeah,
start,
absolutely.
You know, at the beginning anyway. But, it does have a couple of decent moments. I didn't mind I've Underestimated My Charm Again. There's a couple of clever lines, and it has the innocence of, you know, a 50s pop song or something,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was kind of sweet. But for the most part, you know, this music, besides a few lyrical naughty words, is all set for Radio Disney, if you ask me.
Absolutely.
You know where they got together, right? When they were in the studio, I asked, and they got together in Bible school.
Oh, really?
Sunday school, yeah.
Well, it's so sweet, isn't it?
Isn't it?
A When the San Diego-based emo-influenced Noise Ratchet busted up in 2004, the group's co-founders, bassist John Jameson and drummer Brandon Young, ditched their punk-influenced ways for something more soulful and rootsy. Jameson and Young worked on a few other projects, but nothing stuck, so we both ended up taking day jobs. Brandon Young took a job at a graphic design firm, and one particular night at the office, he was working late, went out to grab a pack of smokes, and instead ran into a loud street busker in downtown San Diego named Matt Vasquez. The two hit it off immediately, and Delta Spirit were born. Their sound falls between indie rock and alternative country. Delta Spirit quickly became favorites on the SoCal club scene and released its first EP in 2006. Soon after, they were on the road opening for Cold War Kids, Dr. Dog, and Clap Your Hands Say Yeah. The new album is titled Ode to Sunshine. Here's a little slice of Trash Can from Delta Spirit. Delta Spirit, the album is titled Ode to Sunshine. David, is this working for you?
Yeah, actually it is. When I started listening to the album, I thought, I was totally lukewarm on it. That country-inspired indie rock seems like kind of a trend right now.
Nice harmonies, too, from these guys.
Lots of harmonies. I feel like it has kind of a 70s rock tinge of sounds in there. But as you listen to it, you know, you don't expect it to lift your mood, but it kind of does. I wouldn't call it a feel-good album, but it's very poetic, and there's something inspiring about these songs. It kind of makes people feel like they're having this common experience as they're listening to them, especially songs like Come On People. It's about being lost and searching for kind of meaning in life, and it just kind of makes you feel good, even though it's not like a happy song. It makes you feel like, oh, you're having this common experience.
It has kind
people.
Of a spiritual way about it, doesn't it?
It really
kind of
does.
A gospel-y way.
Yeah, I mean, they do the same thing on Streetwalker, where they've got the soulful rhythm, and it kind of makes you feel like you're walking in someone else's shoes. And they even do that, like, this sort of spiritual chanting.
Yeah.
They mimic it, and there's, like, a patchwork of different sounds on these songs. Surf guitars, harmonicas, they feel those like naked piano sounds, which is kind
of,
I don't think it's very common.
Lots
of
piano on this record.
Yeah. So it is working for me.
Barb, how about you?
Me too. I really like this album. I like how there's absolutely no two songs on it, I think, that sound the same. You know, it's like this one's kind of slow and it's kind of folky, and then this one, I think I used the analogy in a music meeting a couple of weeks ago, and everybody looked at me like I was crazy until we listened to it. I said it was like James meets Alice in Chains, like in some of those weird harmonies, because it sounded like Layne Staley. You know what I mean?
You know, sometimes you read about bands who signed to labels because some of their idols are on that label. You know, a lot of times it ends up being bands wanting to sign to Columbia because it's the home of Dylan and Springsteen and stuff. And these guys are signed to Rounder, and they're so honored to be on that label because of the Alan Lomax anthology of folk music. So these guys are rooted in the roots of American music, and I think that's pretty cool for a band nowadays.
I read the line on their MySpace where it says something about Peter, Paul, and Mary's, If I Had a Hammer, from the Newport Folk Festival, and I put those two songs next to each other, Trash Can, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
It seems like there's some bands around that are influenced by folk music, and they kind of blend in some punk, too, like the Dodos are from California. There's some sort of anti-folk scene going on around. I don't know if it's anti-folk, but some sort of takeoff on folk music going on in California right now, and these guys seem to be at the forefront of it. And I'll be wandering on for all my years. What I become, no one can say. If you're feeling what I'm feeling, come on. Are you so? You're listening to Music Heads, presented by 89.3 The Current from Minnesota Public Radio. Philadelphia's The War on Drugs are a new band created by a couple of Dylan fans, Adam Grandisiel and Kurt Vile, met at a party a few years ago. After a few drinks, they discovered their fascination with his Bobness, so they commenced writing songs together. Within a couple of years, the pair had enough material to play some shows. The War on Drugs were born. The group became a huge presence on the Philadelphia scene. They also gained a following in New York City. By 2007, the band had completed its debut EP and posted it online as a free download. The War on Drugs gained a ton of press for its EP and Smokin' Live shows, and eventually were signed to the Secretly Canadian label, who released its debut album, Wagon Wheel Blues. Hear hints of Dylan all over this album, from the esoteric lyrics to the vocal delivery of singer Adam Grandisiel. And there's those rollicking grooves on songs like Taking the Farm. War on Drugs. The album is called Wagon Wheel Blues. Barb, working for you?
Yeah. I would give it, like, if we were rating them, I would give it like a B minus. It's working, but it's not the greatest thing in the world.
I'd give it a straight up B.
Give it a B?
Yeah.
I was trying to like classify it as to what I thought it sounded like, and I kept going back to A3, some of their old stuff, like Wade Into the Water and that kind of stuff. And then I read this on NME. Bob Dylan is 66, fronting the Jesus and Mary Chain, and I'm like, totally.
I can hear that. They have the kind of droning guitars. They always mention Sonic Youth, too, with this band, and I'm not hearing that as much.
They mention Sonic Youth, Dylan, Cocteau Twins, Springsteen, Suicide, Tom Petty, Ronettes. I've seen so many bands, you know, stated as influences of this band that I'm kind of suspicious, to be honest with you.
Is it working for you, though, David?
Well, you know, out of the three albums that we're talking about today, they're all new, they're all debut records for these artists. I think War on Drugs, they're kind of like, to me, the one who I'm kind of like, I want to champion them. You know, I feel like they're the most promising of these three groups.
Agreed.
And they have a really, it's not a unique sound necessarily because it's been done before, but they have the most exciting sound to me. I want to, you know, when talking about influences, I feel like I hear a little bit of the Velvet Underground and the guitar sounds, some Neil Young, maybe some Graham Parsons.
Sure.
I mean, the list can go on and on. The fact is, these guys sound like rock and roll, and they sound like a lot of rock and roll we've heard a lot about. What I love a lot about this album is the visuals. On Taking the Farm, you know, the lyrics, have you been digging for diamonds at the bottom of the sea, taking the farm from under your knees, you know, you just kind of visualize someone on their knees, kind of on land somewhere, and that,
yeah.
I just love that in this album. But there are parts of this album that really don't work for me. There's, like, instrumental parts, there are parts in the album where you feel
there's two instrumentals out of nine cuts.
And you feel like they're kind of recreating the same song over and over and over again at different parts, and you kind of lose it there, and then the fact that, you know, I love the, like, Dylanisms on this album, but in some ways it kind of alienated me after a while. I kind of felt like I'm kind of irritated. Maybe I should just go listen to Bob Dylan. But with that said, I mean, I do like this album, and I think that they do a really great job.
Yeah, I thought the album was just a little thin because, you start off with, a couple of rock-solid numbers. My favorite on the album is track number one, Arms Like Boulders. It has those meandering Dylan-like randomness in the lyrics.
But it goes on and on for a very long time.
Yeah, and I thought that was super cool. And then it goes into, well, the highlight of the album, I think we're all in agreement that Taking the Farm is the track on the album. And then they go into that My Bloody Valentine-inspired shoegazer thing with Coast Reprise. That's a very odd choice for a third track on the album. And then, you know, there's a couple other great songs. And then track number seven, Reverse and Charge, is another instrumental. And then track number eight, 9.5 minutes long.
Yeah. And, you know, I think as a new band, they can get away with doing that now and kind of experimenting and figuring out what they sound like, you know, compared to, like, the Delta Spirit, where this album, like, how are they going to live up to that? You know, they didn't really, you know, they made quite an album. I think the War on Drugs, really, they have something going here, and I'm excited to see what they're going to do next. Another song that I liked was Buenos Aires Beach.
That was
even
a very
though
good
it
song.
Kind of felt like they were recreating the same idea as taking the farm, I kind of liked it a little more. And it was kind of like a learning experience. Like, oh, I get these guys, and I really, really, really like it. So I think it's a good album.
I think the singer's fantastic. Great voice. Great. And yeah, he has his inflections are unique, and he's got a great sound. It's now time for the portion of the show where we invite you to get involved. We ask you to tell us your honest stories about music and its place in your life. We ask a different question every week. My guests and I will start it off and then invite you to join in with your story online. Here's the question. Name a song that you love despite the fact that you think the lyrics leave something to be desired. David?
Well, I was going to take a shot at classic rock on this one. How can you not? I wonder if either of you have a classic rock song that you're going to take a shot at. But no, Blur, song number 2. I love that song. Every time I hear it, it makes me happy. But got my head checked by a jumbo jet? That's pretty much as you can grasp onto in that song. The rest of it is just, you know, complete nonsense. I heard that song so many times on the radio, and I always thought there was actually something being said, and the more I listened to it, I learned that it says nothing, but it's a really, really catchy song.
Here's an idea for that song. How about one of those stadium anthems? We'll get rid of Gary Glitter's rock and roll part, whatever it is.
It'll probably end up that way.
You
it
think?
Probably will.
It's probably going on already.
I hope so.
Yeah, the football hooligans probably dig that song. It's probably played over in Europe and stuff. Barb, how about you?
David Bowie's Hello Space Boy. It's on the Outside album, which I think is thoroughly underappreciated anyway. But I think it's just like a song about going to a club and being like, so do you like boys or girls? And trying to decide. It's so weird. Space Boy, you're sleepy now. Your silhouette is so stationary. You're released, but your custody calls. And I want to be free. And I swear to God, that is the part of the song that makes sense.
That's about it, huh?
Yeah.
Don't you wanna be free? Do you like girls or boys? It's confusing these days, but moon dust will cover you, cover you. This chaos is killing me.
I love the music behind it, and it was a hit in the UK. I don't know that it ever got played in the States. But I've never gotten it, and you know how much I love Bowie, so there you go.
All right, name a song that you love, despite the fact that you think the lyrics leave something to be desired. My answer was going to be the Rolling Stones' Can't You Hear Me Knockin', but then I looked at the lyrics, and it's like, this is about a dude trying to score some drugs who's got a huge problem. So it's like, okay, that's a real song, so I'm going to skip that one. But that song is so awesome anyway. A 7.5-minute jam, essentially, that's tons of fun. So I picked, a relatively new song, and you guys probably agree with me on this one, Band of Horses, Is There a Ghost?
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Let me read the lyrics. I could sleep, I could sleep, I could sleep, I could sleep. When I lived alone, is there a ghost in my house? That's about it.
I could sleep, I could sleep, I could sleep, I could sleep. When I lived alone, is there a ghost in my house? I could sleep, I could sleep, I could sleep.
But how about that guitar in that song? Yeah. Totally makes it.
They couldn't complete the thought. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's an incomplete. If you were grading that song, you'd give it an I for incomplete. Well, those are our answers. Name a song that you love despite the fact that you think the lyrics leave something to be desired. Tell us your story online. Go to thecurrent.org, look for Music Heads, then follow the links to join the discussion. In this episode, we discuss The War on Drugs, the new album Wagon Wheel Blues, Delta Spirit's Ode to Sunshine effort, and Black Kid's new effort Party Traumatic. I want to thank Barb Abney for joining me again for Music Heads.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Pleasure to have you back, and David Safar as well. Thanks, David.
Thanks for having me.
It's a wrap. It's been Music Heads. Thanks for checking it out. Subscribe to the podcast of the show by clicking on Music Heads when you go to thecurrent.org. The program is produced by Steve Seal. Michael Wells is the podcast production coordinator, and Julia Schrinkler manages the show's online discussion, which we want you to be a part of. Go to thecurrent.org and look for Music Heads, then follow the links to join the discussion. I'm Bill DeVille from 89.3, the current part of Minnesota Public Radio. Music Heads, is it working for you?